When I saw my name on the program, I had the same reaction that I normally do, and is I have no idea what I'm going to talk about, and that's the first thing that I've got to get figured out. You hear a lot of people come up here and say stuff similar to that, because that is, to me, the single hardest part is figuring out what you're going to talk about. So I was wandering around my kitchen, and I asked my roommate, because he's a pretty sharp guy, got a lot of Bible knowledge, I said, what's the purpose of giving a sermon? I live with Brandon Lee, by the way, in case anybody was wondering who that was. But I said, what's the purpose of me giving a sermon? What am I supposed to accomplish by getting up in front of the group? And he pointed me towards 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, which is just where I'm going to start out this evening. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 gives us things. It says, everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. So I'll start out there. The first thing. Okay, that's the first thing. So we're supposed to strengthen each other. And as we grow together in Christ with our church family, we become stronger. It's a maturing process that we go through. And we grow both as a body and as individuals. The second thing that's mentioned there in verse 2 is to encourage. We've had a lot of really good sermons up here about encouragement. It's one of the things I think we do really well. Reminding us not to just encourage the people that are having a hard time, but also encourage the people that are appear to have a lot of strength, because everybody gets down sometimes and needs encouragement. But that's appropriate to do on an individual basis, but it's also appropriate to do from the pulpit. Third thing that's mentioned in verse 3 is to comfort. So in verse 3, those are the three things that it talks about. And as you get down to verse 19, it also mentions that we're supposed to instruct. All right, now in verse 1 Corinthians 14, verse 19 says, but in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Now, a little background. We studied this fairly recently in class, but in 1 Corinthians, this is a new church, just as the church was being established, and Paul was writing to them. One of the difficulties they were having is that the apostles had given them different spiritual gifts. Some of them could speak in tongues. Some of them could prophesy. And there was some competition that had arisen between those gifts, and some people were thinking that theirs were better than others, and people say, oh, I can prophesy, and ooh, I can speak in tongues, so I'm better than you. So what was happening here is some people were getting up in front, and they were speaking in tongues, and they were going on and on. And what Paul is saying here in the 19th verse is that if you can't understand what you're saying, if there's nobody there to interpret, then it's not doing anybody any good. It's just gibberish. So moving that into today, it doesn't have to necessarily be in a foreign tongue or speaking in tongues in order to be gibberish. I can say a lot of gibberish in English that people wouldn't understand what I was saying, and that would also not be beneficial. So it's my responsibility from being up here teaching a lesson to you to make sure that what I say is understandable and get my point across to you. Well, those are 4 things that are kind of given to us as instructions for how to handle the public area. Now, as far as when it gets to specifically to speaking, there's a lot more things that the Bible says about that. I'd like to read Titus chapter 2, just the first 8 verses real quick. In Titus chapter 2, it says, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husband and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. For those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about you. So there's 4 things in there, and if I missed something, go ahead and point it out to me as I put them up there. But I put 4 things I pulled out. In verse 1, and the first thing that he starts out with is make sure you're teaching according to sound doctrine. Now, the reason that I think this is especially important is because we're not up here to push any personal agenda that we might have, or, you know, if it's election year or something, it's not my place to get up here and tell you who to vote for, because that's a personal opinion. That's just something I particularly like, but its purpose is to teach what God has instructed us through the Bible and to make sure that everything we do say is that of sound doctrine or of the Bible. As we go through there in verse 8, there's 3 other things. integrity, seriousness. And then the fourth one's an important one, and soundness of speech, so that it cannot be condemned. So this is a very serious responsibility that we're given, and as I was wondering what I was going to talk about, I needed to be reminded of this just to kind of get myself back as a base. So that's why I'm bringing this lesson tonight, is to kind of just remind us what a serious thing this is and what we're supposed to be accomplishing by standing up here and teaching our brothers and sisters. And I think from this point on, I'm always going to read James chapter 3 before I get up here every time. From now on, I'm going to try to remember to do that. In James chapter 3, I'm just going to read the first verse here. First verse in chapter 3. It says, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." So he goes on to explain in this verse the tongue is such a powerful thing, and that he compares it to food you feed a horse. You can lead a horse by, just a few pieces of food, or you can turn a whole ship by just the small rudder in the back. It's very small, but it's also very powerful. So teaching is very serious, and when we forget that, we can get ourselves in trouble. And some of these examples are kind of how I divided up, is the stuff on the right is specific just to teachers, and then the stuff on the left is specific for anybody who's up here, be a song leader or somebody who's given the Lord's table or somebody who's giving a sermon. So just the point is that we need to make sure we're making the best opportunity of what we've been given. But just to put a little numbers in it, here's some food for thought. I think our average attendance on Sunday morning is about 120, give or take a few. The numbers work out real well for 120, so we'll stick with that. So if you have 20 minutes, if you're up here for 20 minutes on Sunday morning and you have 120 people, that's equivalent to 40 man hours. Okay, so the equivalent time of one person taking their time for 40 hours. If you're up here for 40 minutes for a class, that's 80 man hours or people hours. So when you're up here for 40 minutes, you're taking up the same amount of time as somebody working full time for you for 2 weeks. If I'm going to hire somebody to work for me 2 weeks full time, I'm going to have stuff kind of lined up, have a schedule for them, have an agenda to make the most efficient use of that time, because obviously if I'm hiring somebody for 2 weeks, that's probably going to be costing me a lot of money, and I want to get the best use out of that as I can. I was kind of hoping Dane might show up tonight, but a couple weeks ago Dane Hartman moved, and I think most of us know Dane, but there's actually two aspects of the story I want to tell. I talked to him 2 nights before he moved, and he wasn't sure if anybody was going to show up. He'd mentioned the Sunday before out at Lone Jack that he's going to move, and he asked for some volunteers. And when we showed up Saturday morning, there were 15 people out in 5-degree weather ready to move. So, I mean, that's a credit. They have the same characteristics as us. It's one of the things we do best, is when somebody asks for help or somebody needs something, it's amazing. It's very encouraging how many people show up and really do. But back to what I'm talking about, he had everything in a pile in his living room, and it had a sticker on it that said exactly what room it was going to when he got moved into his new house, and everybody was organized, and we lined up, had an assembly line, got it all in the trailer. We moved all of his stuff, and I think it was about an hour and a half. Is that an hour and a half, 2 hours? I mean, it was absolutely incredible because, first of all, there were 15 people, and second of all, because it was extremely well organized. So my purpose is that when you're up here, it's the same kind of concept. I want to make this as organized and as efficient as possible to try to communicate to you what it is that I have to say. And it's a much more serious thing than moving, because it's not just it's a responsibility that we have for being a teacher, but it's also a privilege that has been given to us by the elders or the people in charge of the congregation. So all I wanted to do is kind of remind us what this was for, because I needed a reminder myself, and I think I've already taken up about 15 man hours, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Cole.